Welcome to Medically Speaking, Auburn's own medical radio show with host Dr. Mark Vaughn of the Auburn Medical Group and Larry Finney.
Welcome back to another episode of
Medically Speaking
with Dr. Mark Vaughn from the Auburn Medical Group.
And I'm Larry Finney.
We're glad to have you back. This week, we have a very special guest, Dr. Nancy Shibayama of Dr. Shibayama's practice. And she's going to be speaking about aesthetic medicine. And we've got the whole hour just reserved for her after we get done with our news and highlights of our week here. So, with all that, I guess we might as well jump into our weekly disclaimer.
Oh, a much-anticipated portion of our show. If you remember last week, I just about had to be resuscitated after reading the disclaimer, but I've been doing a little training, and we're going to add a little element of danger to the disclaimer. I'm going to see if I can do it in as few breaths as possible. So, but there's no baseline. This will be our baseline for the future. Here we go. Hang on. Let me hyperventilate just a moment.
Wait a minute. Okay. Let me get my stethoscope.
Okay, hang on. Stand by. The content of this website and the Medically Speaking radio show are meant for entertainment and for general information purposes. No doctor-patient relationship is attempted or implied through the show or the website. Any medical advice, home remedies, and all other medical information on this website or radio show should not be treated as a substitute for the medical advice of your own doctor. Oh, I have to take a breath. Breath number two. Do not attempt any treatment mentioned on the website or the show without consulting your doctor. Always consult your own doctor if you are in any way concerned about your health. If you need a doctor and live near Placer County, call Jen at 530-886-8630. If you have a medical emergency, call 911. Medically Speaking Radio, Dr. Mark Vaughn, Auburn Medical Group, K-High Radio, and or our sponsors are not responsible for any diagnosis or treatment made by anyone based on any of the content of this website or the Medically Speaking Radio show. In addition, the views and opinions expressed on the show or on linked websites are not necessarily those of Dr. Mark Vaughn, K-High Radio, the Auburn Medical Group, Inc., or any of the show's sponsors.
Two breaths. Okay.
Dude. All right. Wow. So I feel like my personal trainer is an attorney. You know, and he doesn't even know it.
Should we make that a contest for our listeners?
It could be.
Whoever can do it in one breath?
You know, yeah, if we could get a listener to read, if they could read this thing in one breath or in an accent or something interesting.
I know the perfect place for people to try it.
Yeah, where?
Our Facebook fan site.
Oh, the Facebook fan site. Tell us about that.
Well, we now have a Facebook fan site. We have, in the middle of the week, we had 42 fans.
And what are we up to now?
I'd have to look to see what it is.
Just up to the minute. Who knows?
But it's higher than that. So what we could do, there's a place there where the people who use Facebook can make videos. And so they could post that if they can actually read the entire
disclaimer
in one breath. And if you don't know where the disclaimer is, it actually has its own page on our website at medicallyspeakingradio.com. Okay. So enough shameless promotion of our own Facebook.
Enough tomfoolery.
Yes. Please make yourself a fan. Yeah. Okay. So moving on to the news. We have some local medical news. This comes from the Sutter System, which we are very glad to have them as our sponsors. And we welcome both Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital and Sutter Auburn Hospice. Thank you for your support. They have a new caregiver support program. Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital and Sutter Roseville Medical Center have launched a new caregiver support group to be held every third Friday of the month, and it's from 1 to 2:30 p.m. at the Multipurpose Senior Center in the DeWitt Center, and the address is 11576 D Avenue, and of course that's in Auburn at the DeWitt Center. The caregiver support group meetings are not disease or age specific, so it's kind of everybody all together. The meetings include a general discussion, informative guest speakers, and information about community services. This is a venue for caregivers to make new friends, get referrals, share feelings in a supportive environment. I have some patients that are doing this, and it is actually really good for them to network with each other. I think specifically of some of my patients who are doing this in an Alzheimer's support group, you know, taking care of adult parents who are adults taking care of their parents who have Alzheimer's disease and learning just what to expect, what's normal, ways to work with them. For questions about the new caregiver support program, you can call Joni Triker, the Senior Services Coordinator, at 916-781-4000. 1559. Again, if you ever need to get a phone number or contact information from something we talk about on the show, you can find it on our notes page at medicallyspeakingradio.com. But I'll give you that phone number again right now. It's 916-781-1559.
And tomorrow, that would be July 19th, the Children's Bereavement Art Group, a creative outlet for children to express their grief over the loss of a loved one, is scheduled in the Auburn Sutter Faith Hospice Conference Room. This session welcomes children 4 to 8 years old who have suffered a significant death of a loved one within the last year. Through this group, which is facilitated by an art therapist with an extensive background in childhood grief, children can express their thoughts and feelings through a variety of art activities, including drawing and painting. The goal of this program is to provide a safe place for children to process grief and loss through creative outlets that facilitate healing. This program is offered at no cost through generous donations from our community through Sutter Auburn Faith Hospice. If you have a child or teen that might benefit from this program in the Auburn area, please contact Trish Caputo, the bereavement coordinator, at 530-886-6650. One more time, that number, area code 530-886-6650.
Now, on to news of a larger area, our whole nation.
Yeah.
President Obama and Congress are working on the health care reform package. This week, they have gone over some hurdles. I was going to say made progress, but I'm not so sure I want to say that just yet. We'll see. It was a Senate panel, the HELP panel, which is, do you remember what that was? Health, education, something else, and pensions, labor and pensions.
That's it.
And there was a vote for passing a package that is going to include a public component to healthcare reform. And I publicly take a stand against having a public aspect to the plan. I do not like having government have its own healthcare plan. I've seen it in the VA. I've seen what they do with Medicare. And yes, it does provide healthcare to people, and it is working, but man, I don't see it going a good place.
Yeah, and when private industry has to compete against government, who do you think wins?
Yeah, well, the problem is it's going to be artificially undervalued, and so it's going to undercut.
Yeah, and we're going to have more on that hopefully on future shows. We have a secret weapon, but we dare not say yet.
until we actually have it scheduled. Yes,
but. I wanted to get to some other little fluffier stuff in the news. I came across some stuff that suggests that drinking and cussing may actually be helpful, and which would make probably, I'm going to say, if drinking and cussing is a healthy activity, then I would that make the U.S. Marine Corps one of the most healthy groups of people around?
I will say most of them are fine specimens, good shape, fit.
Yeah. And so is it drinking and cussing that makes them healthy?
Is that what makes them?
Well, no. Here, this is a
few. The proud, the cussing and drinking.
You're
going to make somebody mad at us.
I know. There's a study recently done that cursing may actually lessen the perception of pain. That is the finding of a new study published in NeuroReport. Researchers at Keele University School of Psychology recruited more than 60 undergraduates for the study. These students were asked to stick their hands in buckets of icy water twice. Now, the first time, the participants repeated a curse word over and over. I guess it was the word of their choice.
I read that, and it said it, of their choice.
Some Anglo-Saxonism, whatever. Now, the next time, they repeated an everyday neutral word. When they repeated the curse word, participants were able to withstand the water longer and reported a lesser pain level than when they repeated the neutral word. Now, here's the great quote. One of the study's authors says that swearing has been around for centuries and is an almost universal human linguistic phenomenon. It taps into emotional brain centers and appears to arise in the right brain, whereas most language production occurs in the left cerebral hemisphere of the brain. Our research shows one potential reason why swearing developed and why it persists.
Well, yeah, we talked about that earlier, about how there is a difference between swearing and language, and we see that. We'll see people that have a stroke totally wipe out their language center. This person can say nothing. But you step on their toe, and something comes out.
And they remember that word.
Yes, or you have other unique disorders, for example, Tourette's disorder. Mm-hmm. Well, a person will have certain tics and vocalizations sometimes. I remember in particular a pastor who would speak, and you'd always hear this t-t-t-t-t, and it wasn't truly a stutter. It was actually a tic. I'm not sure if he was diagnosed with Tourette's or not. But some people, it's actually the cursing that comes out instead of another vocalization. And it's because this is separate from language. It's an emotional expression separate from language centers in the brain for verbal and written language.
Fascinating. So the Tourette's is often characterized by people just uttering, throwing F-bombs. And
it that can happen, yeah. It's that's not what it usually is in my experience. Usually it's more of a motor tic or a sound. We'll call them vocalizations, but they're not really words usually. But for some people, it's exactly what you just described there.
Well, so if an apple a day, keeps the doctor away, what would, a few F-bombs a day do for you? I don't know. So it could keep a lot of people away, I'm sure.
It'll get you kicked off KI.
That's what it will do, yeah. Well, okay, now that we've established that cussing might or might not be good for you, drinking. Let's go on to drinking. Okay. There's a study here that says a glass or two of wine a day, but no more, appears to protect older adults from developing dementia, researchers reported here at the International Conference on Alzheimer's Disease. This is from Dr. Casey Sink, a gerontologist at Wake Forest. Among cognitively normal older adults, one or two alcoholic drinks a day is associated with a 37% decreased risk of dementia over 6 years.
I would like to point out that study did not first take the patients, split them into two groups, have one group that had the drinking, one group that didn't, and then measure what happened to them. They went back and looked at how much drinking the people were doing. So there's a difference between an association between two things and causality. Now, I could say a lot of people with bad vision wear eyeglasses. That doesn't mean the eyeglasses cause them to have the bad vision.
So. Doc, you are just sucking the fun out of everything. It's palpable. I could feel it just in our radio audience. I can feel the hopefulness rise in them as they're riding down the street or listening
as they're exercising their Shanghai elbow.
Right, as they're developing Shanghai elbow and and cursing at each other. Thinking, they're hoisting a few to us even as we speak, and then you come along and say, nah, not so much.
Yeah, and I'd say the same thing about the red wine for cardiac risk. Yes, they found that the people who were drinking it seemed to be doing well, but is that the reason, or are there a ton of other reasons, especially since it was a very specific group in an area of the Mediterranean that may not relate to us here in America, especially. The bottom line being, don't start drinking if you're not already. If you are, keep it moderate.
And what would we mean by moderate?
No more than a couple drinks.
Medically speaking. Okay.
All right.
Well, next week, our show is going to be back at its usual time, which is 1 o'clock p.m. right here on KHI, the Voice of the Foothills.
KHI, AM 950, Voice of the Foothills. And remember to fan us on Facebook, all you Facebook listeners. We'll be back right after the break, and we'll have our interview with Dr. Nancy Shibayama, so be ready for that. Since 1966, Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital has been providing award-winning care to members of the community, to people just like you. The tradition of excellence continues today with our comprehensive family birth center, cancer services, 24-hour emergency care, and a whole range of outpatient services with convenient hours and locations to serve you.
In addition, we've been recognized for excellence in managing heart attacks, heart failure, pneumonia, and surgical care. We are one of a select few hospitals in the state to earn recognition from VHA's West Coast region for sustained outstanding clinical performance.
To learn more about Sutter Auburn Faith Hospital, visit us on the web at sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio. That's sutterauburnfaith.org/medicallyspeakingradio.
Sutter Health, with you for life.
Few things in life are harder than thinking about serious illness or the death of someone you love. Research confirms that Americans want the basic services that hospice provides, care at home or in a home-like setting, treatment that preserves a sense of dignity and respect. Emotional and spiritual support for patients and for their families, and effective pain management. Hospice helps patients and their families deal with end-of-life challenges in a life-affirming, compassionate way that brings dignity, hope, and love to every day of life. This message of love and caring is the focus of hospice care. This message is brought to you by Sutter Auburn Faith Hospice. We can be reached at 886-6650 or click on the link for Sutter Auburn Faith Hospice on the Medically Speaking Radio website.
Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
Welcome back to Medically Speaking Radio with Dr. Mark Vaughn and...
And I'm Larry Finney. He's the doctor. I'm not.
And we're back from the break now. We told you that we'd be able to be speaking with Dr. Shibayama. And yes, we do have Dr. Shibayama here on the line to speak with us. Welcome to the show, Dr. Shibayama.
Thank you.
Maybe we ought to here. Maybe we ought to do your bio a little bit. As I understand, Dr. Shibayama is a native of Honolulu, did her undergraduate work at UC Berkeley, medical school at Tufts University in Boston, returned to California to go to UC Davis for her residency, and is currently in private practice. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your practice, doctor?
Well, my private practice is in internal medicine. That's what my training is in. About 3 years ago, I decided to add aesthetics to my practice, and so I took additional courses and got more training in that field. And it was a really fun thing to add to my practice, and I get to be a little artistic. So it's been going really well, and we've got happy patients. And so I do a little bit of both.
Yeah, tell our listeners a little bit about aesthetics. Is that, whenever I think of it, I think of the old term plastic surgery. Is that one and the same thing, or is it something slightly different as the modern term, if you will?
Well, I sort of think of aesthetics as including plastic surgery as well as the non-surgical procedures. It's procedures to improve our look, our skin, to help us look more youthful. So it's sort of a catch-all term for all of that. Now, within aesthetics, there's surgical and there's non-surgical, and my practice is mostly non-surgical, where it's based on lasers and injectables such as fillers and Botox. You don't have the downtime, and the recovery time is a lot quicker, so there's a little bit of difference between the two.
So these are all in-office procedures where the patient has them done and can just pretty much walk out.
Exactly. There's really no downtime associated with any of these procedures, and there's no anesthesia, or you don't have to go to the hospital, and the complication rate is going to be a lot less.
Let's talk about some of your procedures. You mentioned earlier Botox. Could you give our listeners a little idea? Most of us have heard about it through the news and whatnot, but maybe there's some misconceptions about it. Could you give us a little rundown?
Yeah, Botox is actually the most common non-surgical cosmetic procedure performed. I think in 2006 there were over 3 million procedures with Botox. It's a very safe procedure. What it is, it's a protein that's purified from a bacteria, and it's injected into specific muscles that you're trying to target, and when you inject it in, it relaxes that muscle. So muscle movement is what causes frown lines. If you think about the lines, we call them the 11s, the two vertical lines between your brows when you frown. Those are caused by that muscle contracting, and over time, the skin over it becomes a wrinkle. So if you can relax that muscle, then that smooths out the wrinkle. Since you can't make that muscle movement anymore, the wrinkle really softens up.
So if I was a poker player and you just really injected my face with a lot of this stuff, I could probably play poker and no one would have any idea what I was holding in my hand, right?
You probably could. You could get away with that.
Don't their big sunglasses accomplish that anyway?
Yeah. But Botox is a great procedure. It's so quick. It's done, 5 minutes, 10 minutes in the office. You walk out of the office not looking like you had anything done, and 3 days later it's kicked in and you're looking more youthful and relaxed and rested.
Are there any complications to the procedure, and how long does it last?
You know, the Botox will last you about 3 months is what we usually tell people. Now, if you continue to come in every 3 months and get injected again, the muscles sort of get trained not to try and do that movement anymore. So what we find is that over time with multiple injections, that Botox that we put in will start lasting you longer and longer. Complication-wise, there's not a whole lot. We are using tiny little needles, and so there's always a chance of bruising. You just have to be really careful where you put it and try and avoid any veins that you see that can cause bruising. If you do bruise, you just put a little ice on it. It'll go away like bruises usually do within a few days. There is a rare complication where sometimes the Botox that you put into one muscle might drift into an adjacent muscle and cause that muscle to weaken a little bit for a little bit of time. The most common one would be if we were injecting between the brows. Sometimes it can drift into the upper eyelid and cause a little bit of a droopy eyelid. That usually goes away within a couple of weeks because we didn't inject it directly into that muscle. It's just a little bit of diffusion. Those are probably it.
I've been doing a little bit of looking on the Botox, and I came across some interesting things about possible hair regrowth associated with Botox treatment. Now, I did my own medical search on this in the literature. I could find nothing at all in the journals about hair regrowth associated with Botox, but the internet is just flooded with these sort of things. Do you have any knowledge of that?
You know, I haven't heard of any medical journals or any research pertaining to that. So I would have to say no. I mean, it's certainly not something I tell people about because I haven't seen it and I haven't read anything about that.
We're talking with Dr. Nancy Shibayama, who has a private practice here in Auburn, aesthetic surgery, or aesthetics, yeah. And one of the other things that you mentioned was a procedure called fillers. Could you kind of let our listeners know what that is?
Yeah, fillers are actually the second most popular non-surgical cosmetic procedure. I think I said that Botox, there were over 3 million procedures done in 2006, in the same year. There are about 1.5 million hyaluronic procedures. And so what fillers are different products, mostly hyaluronic acid, that you inject into the wrinkle itself. So whereas Botox, you inject to relax the muscle, fillers we use to inject into the actual wrinkle, and it brings up the volume there so that it decreases the appearance of that wrinkle.
So typically, what areas are treated with this procedure?
With fillers, we usually think of the lower face. We sort of divide the face into upper and lower, and Botox really works well for the upper part of the face because those muscles you can kind of relax without really affecting function, whereas for fillers, for the lower face, you really can't put too much Botox in there. In your lower face, you've got your mouth muscles, and, you know, if you relax those too much, you have problems eating and drinking and talking. So what we do in the lower face is to use fillers in those areas. You can use a little bit of Botox, but fillers really work well in the lower face.
I think what most people would want to know, probably two things with respect to both the Botox and the fillers is, one, does it hurt? And two, what might one expect to pay for such a procedure?
Yeah, with the Botox, we use tiny, tiny needles. I actually special order mine from a company in Germany, so they're actually much smaller than what most practitioners in this area use. It's just a tiny little prick. You barely feel it. It's such a small needle. And then, you know, afterwards, there's no effects at all. With the hyaluronic acids or, you know, Juvederm or Restylane are examples, the needle is a little bit larger, so what I usually like to do is to use some numbing cream, or if we're using it around the lip area to augment the lips, I'll actually do a dental block. And so there really is very minimal discomfort with either procedure.
You mentioned that you special order your needles. When I'm using skin procedures, I have a 30 gauge that I use. What would be the equivalent as far as the gauge with what you're using?
These are 32 gauge.
32. And you have to special order?
I think it's about as small as you can get. You order them from your usual medical supplier, but I don't think they're readily available in most catalogs. Like, you know, I think my nurse just orders it specifically. She calls them and gets some special order for it.
Okay, now remember, I'm the non-doctor, so when we're talking 30-gauge needle, could you kind of give us a clue, you know, compared to the size of something else, a human hair or what? How big is that needle?
Oh, I don't know, maybe a little bee sting.
Oh, okay. All right.
Very small. It's very tiny. Literally, you barely feel it as it goes in.
I actually have had people tell me they could not feel a 30 gauge when I give the shots to.
Yeah, so, and I use a 32. So you can imagine that you just barely feel anything. There's, you know, practically no bleeding because it's just a small needle. It just enters right in and you inject a little bit and it comes right out.
Okay. I have a couple questions on both Botox and the fillers. One is regarding the fillers. I understand that there's certain products have been used for that, but then there's been people have used non-approved products.
Well, with Botox, you know, in the United States, Botox until recently has been the only approved botulinum toxin that's been available. In Europe, they've been experimenting with all kinds of other botulinum toxin products, but in the U.S., only Botox. Recently, a new product called Dysport has been approved, and it's also a botulinum toxin. So you have to be careful when you go to the practitioner to ask, you know, or to look at the bottle and say it's allergens, Botox that you're drawing out of the bottle and not some other product, because there are other products available out there, just not approved in the U.S.
And is there a problem with the filler holding its shape when the skin around it later in life no longer has its elasticity? Is it possible to see it through the skin?
Yeah, with the fillers, with the hyaluronic acids, they usually last you 8 to 12 months. I've had some patients have phenomenal results, and a year and a half later, it's still in there. But, it's a hyaluronic acid, which is a sugar that your body normally makes. It's normally in your skin, and your body's constantly degrading it anyway. So that's why it only lasts for 8 to 12 months. So, unless you're going to age a whole lot in a year, you're probably not going to see that filler, and it'll just naturally sort of, degrade into what your skin would have been like before. With some of the other more permanent fillers, I would imagine that would be a problem. You know, put something in there that lasts you 5 years, and over that period of time, your skin around it starts to sag. That filler may show, or they look a little bit more unnatural.
Okay, so that's what that report was that I had heard about. We're speaking with Dr. Shibayama from Auburn, specifically about her practice in aesthetics, and we'll get back to it right after these messages.
This is Dr. Mark Vaughn. I wanted to let you know a little bit about our practice at the Auburn Medical Group. The physician, nurses, and front desk personnel all approach the patient, asking themselves the question, how would I want to be treated if I was in the patient's shoes? Listen to what one of our patients has to say about her experience at the Auburn Medical Group.
My name is Susie Brown. I just want to sincerely thank that group of people for being there for me in some emergency situations. They are very efficient. Their staff, including their receptionist, even when you call her, she's got sympathy and compassion for you. And when you're ill, that's what you need. The nurse staff is wonderful, and Dr. Vaughn listens to everything you say, and they just get on things. They do not let anything lag.
If you need a doctor, call us at 886-8630 or look at our website at auburnmedicalgroup.com.
Do you find yourself overspending, overeating, or in unhealthy relationships? Is your anger out of control, or do you struggle with drugs and alcohol? Are you tired of just trying harder to deal with your struggles? If you answered yes to any of these questions, there's help available. Celebrate Recovery is an international ministry that meets locally at Parkside Church, 3885 Richardson Drive, Auburn. Meetings are held every Friday night from 6 to 9:15 p.m. All areas of recovery are welcome. Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered, 12-step recovery program that offers real and lasting change. Contact Sheila Dobbin at 823-9911. That's 823-9911. For a listing of Celebrate Recovery locations, go to CelebrateRecovery.com. We invite you to join us at Parkside as we celebrate recovery.
The doctor would say, don't stick anything in your ear. Unless, of course, it's medically speaking. On K-High, the voice of the foothills. Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
We're back talking with Dr. Nancy Shibayama of Auburn with her aesthetics practice right here in town. Welcome back, Dr. Shibayama.
Thank you.
We had talked earlier about Botox and fillers. There's one thing I wanted to get back to on that, and that was the cost of the procedures, both the Botox and the fillers.
All right. So for Botox, it really depends on the area that you're treating, you know, how large of an area, how strong the muscles are. In general, we sort of talk about treatment areas, and one area would be, say, the area between the brows, or another area would be the horizontal lines on the forehead, or, say, the crow's feet. And in general, each area would cost somewhere between $250 to $300. For the fillers, they're sold in syringes. They're prepackaged syringes that we sell. And so it's usually about $500 a syringe. To say, you know, do a lip augmentation, usually it'll take one syringe, or to do the nasolabial folds, which is, you know, the area between the nose down to the corner of the lips, that usually will take about two syringes.
And you said it was about 10 months that it lasts?
For the fillers, somewhere between 8 to 12 is what the package insert will say. I've seen it last a lot longer.
So if somebody wanted to keep the same appearance, they'd be paying that amount of money, $300 to $500 range annually.
Well, the $300 for the Botox will last you every 3 months. So the Botox you would have to repeat every 3 to 4 months. This for the Juvederm or Restylane, yes, it would last you about a year, and so it would be $500 to $1,000, depending on which area you wanted to treat.
Doc, we'd like to move into some of the other procedures that you do as well. I understand that you do some work with lasers for things like hair removal and pigmentation problems.
Yeah, you know, lasers are sort of the new darling of the aesthetic community. It's been around for a little bit, and we keep improving on the technology, and we're able to do so much with it now, whereas before we were dependent on skincare creams and, you know, maybe facials were the best that we could do to do some of these things that lasers can do now. There are three major types of lasers out there. The first one is called an IPL laser, intense pulse light, and that's the one that treats the most superficial layer of the skin. That's where your hair follicles are, that's where your pigment is, that's where acne is, that's where your broken blood vessels are. So that laser kind of treats all the colored stuff that we don't want.
So when you talk about colored stuff, you actually have to have color in, say, a hair for it to respond to laser removal.
Yeah, for the IPL laser, the laser gets attracted to pigment. So, for instance, the easiest hair removal to do would be on a very fair-skinned person with very dark hair. The fair skin part, you know, keeps the laser from treating the color in the skin, and then the dark hair or the black hair will really attract the laser light down, so you can close off the hair follicle and get your permanent hair reduction that way.
So what I'm hearing here is possibly that, is it a gray hair cannot be removed?
Well, gray hair is going to be tougher. Yeah, the gray, white hair, even blonde hairs are a lot more difficult to treat. And so that's why, you know, when we do a consultation, it's you know, you bring the patient in to kind of look at what kind of hair they have, what kind of skin they have. If they're light-skinned and blonde and blue-eyed, you know, I'm going to tell them you're going to need upwards of 6 to 8 treatments, whereas if you're, you know, light-skinned and have very dark hair, you know, you could be done with 3 to 4.
Is this where we bring in our HIPAA violation on air?
Oh, well, Dr. Vaughn has had an experience with it, so if he's willing, he can tell you
Larry,
what he thought about the removal process and how it works.
Right here, under the chin, on the neck.
Oh, yeah, that's very attractive. Let me feel that. Yeah,
that's well, is it as smooth as a baby's bottom?
Well, you go ahead and say what you think.
Well, I'm feeling it now, and it's kind of actually kind of a strange and wonderful experience for me, but a baby's bottom is not quite what I would compare it to.
Oh,
See, here's the problem. I already had half gray hair in my beard when I had it done. And so those white hairs apparently aren't responding to it. And they are there. I actually do have to shave, but it's very hard to see them. So I can get away with doing it without shaving for a couple days. Nobody can tell unless they really look closely. But is there hope of getting these lighter ones completely gone, or am I stuck with this?
Well, for now you're stuck with it. I mean, the other option would be to do electrolysis, where they, you know, use these little needles and zap each individual hair follicle. That's, you know, pretty painful and tedious. That was the only option before lasers came around. With lasers, you can treat such a large area at one time that it becomes such an easy procedure. But you could probably get those white hairs with electrolysis if you really wanted to get rid of them. But for now, there's no option for white hairs or light hairs with lasers.
You're listening.
I'm working on it, though.
You're listening to Medically Speaking Radio with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney. We're interviewing Dr. Nancy Shibayama, and we're talking about laser hair removal at the moment. And the question I had, though, was about discomfort or pain. But I suppose Dr. Vaughn, having just gone through this, might be the one to answer the question. So Dr. Vaughn, does it hurt?
Nancy, how long was it before I came back for the second treatment?
It took him a little while, but the first one, you know, especially for men, because men have coarser hair and more hair on their face, and so
we're wimps, but
I didn't say that. I wasn't going to say it, but each treatment got better and better, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. You told me that you were actually turning up the setting with progressive treatments, and it was less and less of a sensation. I will say, though, the first time we did it, it hurt.
Yeah, and, you know, and it, I think men and, not to say you guys are wimps, but men in general think that the hair removal hurts a little bit more than my women do. Women seem to be able to lay there and take it all in, but, you know, maybe it's because we're used to it, because we get babies and stuff, that you guys don't have to go through that.
There's a whole experience too, though. It's not just the pain. It's the intense pulse of light that, even though it's under your chin and your eyes are covered with some kind of a what is it you put over the little sticky?
They're laser eye shields.
The eye shield. Yeah, you have the eye shield over the eye, and it's under the chin, and you have this intense pulse of light that you see, and it takes a couple seconds for it to fade away, and then there's the sizzling sound. It's kind of, I relate it to the sound of when your head is underwater and you hear gravel, like if you're at the river and you're walking through the gravel, that sort of sound. You kind of hear that, and that's the sizzling of the hairs. And then there's the smell, which I think is kind of like popcorn myself.
Well, the thing is, that's why I have people shave before they come in for their procedures, because that sizzling sound that you hear is if you have hair growth above the skin. So if you shave and there's no hair growth above the skin, you won't get the sizzling sound, you won't get the smell, and you know, and the light is just there. The light it's actually very interesting. A lot of people are more bothered by the light than the actual feeling on their skin of the laser, the laser zap itself. I mean, a lot of people are just bothered by that light. People just seem to be really sensitive to it.
And I don't want to be too hard on it, because I did go back an additional 3 more times. To get the job finished. You have to keep going back because of cycles of hair growth, right?
Exactly. At any one time, you've got a certain amount of hair that are in the active cycle, some of dormant, and the laser will only treat the ones that are active. So say on the face, the cycle turns around every 2 to 4 weeks. So when I treat facial hair, I'll have you come back between 2 to 4 weeks, and then by then those dormant hairs will now become active, and we can get those, and in the next cycle we'll get the dormant ones again. So it you know, 2 to 4 weeks for upper anything above the neck, 2 to 4 weeks, anything below usually somewhere between 4 to 6 or 6 to 8 weeks, depending on which area of the body.
We're talking here with Dr. Nancy Shibayama, who has an aesthetic medicine practice here in Auburn. Doc, I have a kind of a hypothetical question for you. Let's say I have a friend who has a tattoo of a woman's name, but the woman that he's now with is not thusly named, and the whole thing is kind of kills the mood, if you know what my friend means.
Do you do tattoo removal?
I don't. That requires a specific type of laser, and you probably have to go to a pretty large laser center to find that laser. It's just not something that we do, and that I see enough of, or have enough requests for that. You know, then we want to keep a laser specifically for that. With the rest of my lasers, I can, you know, there's multiple uses for them, and I can justify the cost. But just for laser hair removal, you probably have to go to a pretty large laser center for that. I'm sorry, for tattoo removal.
But you do things like general skin aesthetics, like pigmentation problems, birthmarks, freckles, things like that?
Yeah, so that goes back to so that's the IPL laser again, because remember, that's the one that treats pigment. So sunspots are probably the most common thing that people come in for other than hair removal. And what happens is that in our younger, crazier days, when you were out in the sun playing, no sunscreen, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, like you said, I grew up in Honolulu, and I was always at the beach and never wore sunscreen. So by the time I was in my mid-30s, I was starting to see a lot of brown spots on my face that I couldn't even cover up with makeup. So the IPL laser works with the same principle as for the hair removal. The brown spots attract the laser down, it heats up that pigment, and within 3, 4, 5 days, that pigment darkens and then kind of just flakes off like dry skin. It's really amazing to see, and it's hard to describe without going through it. There's no pain involved, it just kind of flakes off like dry skin.
I want to get more into this, but we need to take a break now. This is Medically Speaking Radio on KHI AM 950. We're speaking with Dr. Nancy Shibayama about her aesthetics practice right here in Auburn. We'll be back after this.
It's already the end of the school year. Will your children spend their summer in front of the television or in front of the computer? Engage your children in outside activities. Play games with them or take them to the park. Childhood obesity leads to serious long-term medical complications. This can be avoided by encouraging your children to eat wisely and be active. This is Dr. Mark Vaughn of the Auburn Medical Group and KHI Radio, the voice of the foothills, encouraging you to teach your children good health habits.
Now, back to Medically Speaking with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney.
And we're back. This is Medically Speaking Radio with Dr. Mark Vaughn and Larry Finney. We're here with Dr. Shibayama speaking about her aesthetics practice. Now, before the break, you were talking about the pigment treatment, pigment removal with the IPL laser. And that's also something that we had done together earlier in the year.
Yeah, we did. We treated some brown spots on Dr. Vaughn's forehead. And are they gone?
What do you think, Larry? I need to move the headphones.
I'm taking a look now, and it's
they were in this area here.
Yeah. Remarkable.
They were a lot darker. You can still see them though, right? You can see little brown dots there.
No, I can't see anything. I would not notice them.
One of them I noticed with, I guess, continued sun exposure because of, it used to be covered. We'll just say that.
Follicularly challenged.
Follicularly challenged. Blessed with DHD, I'm not sure.
He didn't have laser hair removal up there.
No. No, it wasn't laser hair removal gone bad. It was the natural process. But I did have the brown spots, and after the treatment, they got really, really dark. And you're right, they kind of flaked off, like a flaky little spot. And now all that's left is a really light pigment there, like a really light freckle compared to the dark pigmented lesion that had been there.
Yeah, and usually, you know, I'll do it 3 times. I don't remember how many times we treated your spot up there. We may have just done it once. So normally it takes, you know, 3 treatments to really get rid of a brown spot, because I'll switch lasers, I'll switch hand pieces, you know, we'll use different wavelengths depending on how dark or light the spot is. So usually I'll tell somebody you'll need probably 3 treatments to really lighten up the spot significantly.
Yeah, and that I really do need to say, that was so much less painful. And in fact, it wasn't. It was not painful like the hair removal was. The pigment was very different. So if somebody's out there thinking, oh, I could never do that, that sounds painful. As far as the pigment, that was not bad at all.
Yeah, it feels like what I describe it as like a little maybe rubber band snapping gently against your skin. That's sort of how I describe it to patients when I see them.
Do you take care of things like spider veins, that type of thing? Varicose veins?
Again, that's the IPL laser, because we're talking color again, except this time it's red or maybe blue, depending on the color of the veins. And the same principle, the laser gets attracted to the red in the veins and heats it up, coagulates the vessel, closes it off, and, you know, gets rid of the vein.
Now, that's something I've actually probably referred to you more than anything else, is the vessels, spider veins, rosacea-type treatments.
Yeah, and, you know, and rosacea patients are probably my happiest patients. I mean, everyone's happy when their brown spots go away or when the hair doesn't grow back. But rosacea patients have kind of gone through life sort of just embarrassed every time they, you know, have a glass of wine or they get out of the shower or, you know, they're flustered and they're embarrassed. They just flush and they really, really don't like that. So when they come in for their treatments, we not only get rid of specific veins, but we can really tone down the background redness in general, which is just caused by little tiny blood vessels underneath the skin. You may not see the blood vessels themselves, but, you know, when they flush, that's what's happening. They dilate. And so by closing them down, you know, these patients, all of a sudden the facial redness goes away. You know, they're, you know, people don't always ask them, well, you know, why is your face so red? Or, you know, when they exercise, they don't have that flushed look to them anymore. So they're probably my happiest patients.
And since that is one that I come across the most often that people are wanting to go ahead and actually follow up with, referral and have done, how much does that tend to cost and how many treatments are necessary?
Well, you know, if we're doing the whole face, which I generally recommend, in general, you know, probably about $400 a treatment, maybe a little bit less. And again, you know, probably three treatments.
Over how much time?
Usually, I'm sorry?
You said three treatments. How far apart are they spaced as far as time?
Yeah, they're usually spaced about a month apart. So, you know, we treat it, we allow the face to kind of heal up and recuperate, and then we treat it again. So about a month apart, so over a three-month period, you'll be done with all the whole series of treatments. And we do offer package discounts if you sign up for three or more. So it's usually a 20% discount for that.
And now would be a good time for us to mention your website and phone number. And also, we have it on our notes page at medicallyspeakingradio.com. In case you don't get it now, you can always go to medicallyspeakingradio.com and get information. What are those, Dr. Shibayama, web address and phone number for patients who are interested?
Yeah, our website is at drshib@drshib.com. And the phone number is 530-886-6700.
Dr. Shibayama, this is Larry Finney back. I was... You and I were having a little discussion offline before we got going on this, and with the recent death of Michael Jackson, I got to thinking about people who appear to be, shall we say, addicted to cosmetic surgery. I was wondering if you had any views on that or if you've ever encountered that.
Yeah, there are certainly people out there who are, quote-unquote, addicted to plastic surgery. You know, generally, I believe these people have self-image problems. It's sort of like we talked about earlier, you know, someone who's anorexic or bulimic and just, you know, although everyone else perceives them to be super thin, they see themselves to be overweight. And the same thing with plastic surgery. I mean, some people just, you know, keep looking for imperfections and you fix it with surgery and then they find another one, they want another surgery. I haven't really seen a whole lot of it in my practice. In terms of people who are addicted. Now, I certainly see people who come in with, you know, really minor little imperfections and just, you know, are really upset with it. Oh, don't you see that little wrinkle? You know, can't you fill it? Can't you fix it? And, you know, I don't see anything there. The skin looks perfect to me, but they see something that they're not happy with. So, yeah, I do see a little bit of it, but not to the degree that you see on TV when you watch the talk shows and the guests come on who've had, you know, 20, 30 surgeries and are still trying to get more.
I see that in addition to hair removal and pigmentation corrections, that the laser can also be used for skin tightening. How would that differ from actual invasive type surgery?
Yeah, there's a couple other lasers that I have that can help with skin tightening. The first one is a resurfacing laser. It's an erbium laser, and what it treats is sort of that middle layer of the skin. If you think about the skin divided into three different layers, the first one we talked about already, it's a superficial one where the pigment and the blood vessels are. Well, the second layer, when we use the erbium laser on that layer, you'll start getting a little bit of skin tightening, but really you get skin resurfacing, improvement in tone and texture, fine lines and wrinkles, and you'll get a little bit of pigment that's down there. There are some pigments that are a little bit deeper down, something called melasma, or it's hormonally related, also known as a mask of pregnancy. And that pigment tends to live a little bit deeper, so the resurfacing laser is really good at getting that. And that's basically it. Oh, it's also really good for treating acne scars and people who have those big, it's a little different from years and years of acne. Because we're able to resurface and to stimulate new collagen growth, it's really good for treating acne scars too.
We have about 3 minutes left, so I wanted to kind of give you a chance to prioritize what information you wanted to get out to people regarding skincare products or things they can do to prevent aging or decrease aging, and how they would select what you call an aesthetic practitioner or someone who does what you do. For example, if we have internet users who are listening to us in the Midwest, ways that they would pick a person to do these procedures for them.
Sure. The one thing, and I can't emphasize this enough, in terms of prevention and preventing skin aging and wrinkling, is to use sunscreen. I can't stress that enough. You know, use something that's SPF 30 or greater, something that has both UVA, which is aging light, and as well as UVB, which is what causes skin cancers. You want to use something with both of those and SPF 30 and reapply it every 2 to 3 hours. And in terms of choosing an aesthetic practitioner, you know, really do your research. Get online. Look up who's doing procedures. A lot of places will have, most places actually will have nurses doing them. You know, for instance, in my office, I do all the procedures myself. So is a nurse doing it? Is a doctor doing it? If there's any complications, who's going to take care of it? Can a nurse do it? A lot of times you'll find a laser center in a mall, and there's no doctor overseeing or on site. And so if something were to happen and you were to have a little burn, you know, can that nurse handle it? And, you know, you want to make sure that place is going to stay in business. I mean, a lot of the mall laser centers have been going out of business, the ones that are interested in just taking money and not interested in taking care of you as a patient. So you want to do your research, go with your gut, you know, go meet the doctor or go meet the nurse that's doing it, and you know, see what your instinct tells you. Is this someone that you want to be taking care of you for hopefully the rest of your, you know, life, and will be there for you, or someone interested in taking a quick look
For our listeners who might be interested in consulting with you, I understand that your initial consultation is at no cost.
I don't charge for it. I mean, I really like to see the patients and have them come in and discuss what their skin problems are and what we can do for them. And if they leave with nothing, you know, without signing up for a procedure, that's perfectly fine. I got to give them a lecture about sunscreen, and I'm just can't emphasize that enough. And so, yes, I don't charge for consultations. Come on in. We'll talk about what bothers you, what we have available that might help, or what other options might be that you might want to send you to somebody else for. It's a free opportunity to sort of get an opinion on what we can do for you.
Dr. Shibuyama, again, one last time, your web address and phone number, because we're wrapping up right about now.
It's Dr. Shib at drshib.com, D-R-S-H-I-B, both times. And phone number is 530-886-6700.
Again, that's Dr. Shibuyama at Dr. Well, I shouldn't say at.
No, it's
the
Dr.
address
Shib
is just plain drshib.com, D-R-S-H-I-B.com is the web address. And we certainly appreciate you doing this for us. We can't thank you enough for sharing with us all this information about aesthetics and aesthetic medicine. We really do hope to have you on the show in the future. And we need to let our listeners know that next week we will be talking about women's health, specifically talking about menopause, hormone replacement, and urinary incontinence, which even though it's not the most pleasant thing to talk about, so many people are suffering from it that we really do need to address it. And it will be with Dr. James Dunn, a urogynecologist. For now, stay in good health.